Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Spencer's Retail Limited earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala and Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhil. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Ishan. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome you all for Q2 FY26 Spencer Retail call. We have the entire management team of Spencer, including Mr. Anuj Singh, CEO and MD, Mr. Manjeet Basu, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Anand Kumar, Group Head, Investor Relations, and Mr. Pankaj Kedia, Executive Director, Investor Relations. Without taking much time, I would hand over the call to Anuj sir for his opening remarks, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Akhil, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Q2 results call for Spencer's Retail. Thank you for taking the time out and attending. I'm sure most of you would have had a chance to look at the results which were released yesterday post our board meeting. So if I were to start with a very broad commentary on at a consolidated level, I would say that the quarter two results and the sales, you know, show buoyancy. If you look at a Q-on-Q growth rate at a consolidated level, 7% Q-on-Q growth rate. This is despite a September which was disrupted due to GST-related supply chain issues. Most companies were still understanding and responding to the GST change, which was announced in August but was effective from 22nd September. So September availability was a bit disrupted, combined with the fact that we had heavy unseasonal rains in West Bengal in September towards the end, especially as a run-up to the Puja. Despite that, I would say that the quarter-on-quarter 7% growth at a consolidated level reflects some buoyancy at our end. I'll give obviously more color in terms of where this growth is coming from between the three different parts of our business, which is Spencer's offline, the Jiffy online proposition of Spencer's, as well as Nature's Basket. But overall, that's the commentary. If you look at it from a margin point of view, again, quarter two of this year, 20 basis points higher than quarter one, so shows that, you know, we're steady with our margins at 21%, which is quite commendable. If you look at our sales per sq ft, which is a barometer of efficiency, clearly in quarter two versus, you know, it's at a  1,600-plus level versus 1,500 in quarter one of last year. The comparative for last year, quarter two, is much better. I mean, obviously, that was a quarter where we had a lot of a larger footprint of stores in SRL, in Spencer's, which were not really at that level of productivity. So if you look at it just as a reference at a consolidated level, quarter two last year, our sales per sq ft was 1,200, and quarter two this year, 1,600. Quarter one of this year was 1,500. So I think that's a good measure. At an EBITDA level, this might not be showing, because, you know, there's an impact of other income. So if you look at other income, last quarter was 11, which is now 4, so there's a reduction of 7 crores of other income, on account of various things. But really, I mean, if you look at it, you know, so the EBITDA at a consolidated level is flat, 0 versus 5 in the previous quarter. But if you look at it, I mean, that's the financial part. But if you look at it from a, you know, sales RGM, rupee gross margin, and the expenses, just to kind of get a broad sense of the operational, you know, health. So sales 445 crores versus last year, same quarter was much higher because Spencer's had a much higher footprint of stores. So 445 crores versus 518 crores. If you look at the rupee gross margin, this year, quarter two, we had 93 crores. Last year was 90 crores. So, you know, despite about 70 crores lower top line, we've delivered, you know, an RGM which is, you know, higher than what it was in quarter two of last year. Our expenses have also come down significantly. So between employee and other expenses, quarter two of last year, they were 130 crores plus. Now they're less than 100 crores. And I think, so that's the true indicator of our strategy of, especially on the Spencer's part of exiting certain regions in quarter two of last year. These were high loss making, not as operationally efficient as the others. And we believe that these results will play out and are continuing to play out. It might take a couple of more quarters, but we are quite confident that from an offline Spencer's point of view, it will be it will be fully optimized. We will not add on a lot more stores, so we are not doing that. We are trying to get the maximum juice out of existing stores. And we will, however, scale up the online part of the business because that's where the consumers are migrating. So we are not shying away from not making that investment, and that comes with a certain level of investment to build the online business and a certain level of losses. Now, of course, we have to be cognizant of the fact that we have to assess what's the right level of top-line growth versus the losses, because we might not be in a similar situation as some of the industry-leading players, which have the ability to take triple-digit, losses because they have access to, deeper pockets and deeper pool of capital and private equity. But we are committed to growing that. So, I think from a strategic, point of view, no change. We're sticking to what we had decided a year ago. It's playing out. Some parts is making good progress. Some parts can be a bit faster. And now I'll kind of give you commentary on the three different parts. I'll start with the online part of the business for Spencer's, which, as you all remember, in January of this year, we pivoted from a slotted delivery model to a 30-minute delivery model. This was also through a new tech platform, a new interface, a new brand called Jiffy. And this was done largely in West Bengal and then in Lucknow and this thing. So we're making good progress on that. It's been, 6 months, since we've kind of had a full-blown launch. So if you look at the numbers for Jiffy, so pretty impressive, I would say. 30% quarter-on-quarter growth. So last quarter, compared to last quarter, this quarter we delivered 52.5 crores, which is a 30% growth. Compared to last year, it's a 50% plus growth. So clearly moving in the right direction. If we look at, we have more than 100,000 plus monthly transacting users. The total number of orders are in the range of 8,000 orders per day. The AOV, the average order value, continues to be strong, 750 plus, which is way better than the industry benchmark. Our in-full, which is a level of in-full fulfillment, is 90%, and our on-time delivery hovers around 30%, which is what our proposition is. We're not a 10-minute, we're a 30-minute proposition, and that's what we are delivering. If you look at it, therefore, the September, from the Q2, I think in September we almost touched 20 crores, so which for us is a big milestone, we need to sustain that and then build from there. If you look at the other refreshing part is that if you look at it from at an order level, unit economics, as they say, we were able to achieve positive unit economics in August and September. Basically, it means that we are our fulfillment costs, which is your picking, delivery, things like bank charges and shrink, they were all they came under 100 rupees. And that kind of, our AOVs being 750 and what our margins are, that leads to a positive unit economics. And I think that's the first stage to be achieved for any online player. We're happy that we've done that. Our fulfillment costs are probably comparable, if not lower, than some of the peers. Obviously, there are costs below this, which are largely in the area of corporate overhead costs, tech costs, which is a big part, marketing, which is there, which then leads to overall, economics getting negative. But we are being very prudent and measured in our customer acquisition as well. I've said that in the past as well. Our focus is on acquiring new customers from our offline base of customers, and therefore becoming a totally and truly omni-channel player. Our customer acquisition costs are 330, which again, if you look at industry benchmarks, is pretty I would say benchmarked over there. So really, I think good progress on the GT platform, and which is reflective of where the industry is moving, where the consumers are moving, and also where what we have decided to build. Now, obviously, like I said, we don't have neither the ambition to scale that 10x with similar levels of losses. We will do this in our measured way, but we still believe that we can achieve a steady rate of, and that's the number which I had given at the beginning of the year as well. We can get to a level of 10,000 orders a day, which means that at the current level of AOVs or ABVs would mean a 21-22 crore turnover per month. Quarter three is again a good quarter from a consumer momentum point of view, especially December, and we hope to achieve that number and then grow from there. So I think online is making good progress, and let's be realistic, it is not that will be the growth driver, but that will not be profitable year one. So we will incur losses on that part of it, but again, we'll keep it within a certain level. So that's on the online part of the business. On offline, for us, again, if you look at it from a quarter-on-quarter point of view, compared to quarter one, Spencers, and this is again, I'm talking about offline Spencers. Offline Spencers, delivered 376 crores. It's 376 crores versus 346 crores, so 6% growth. Y-on-Y is not like-for-like because last year in quarter two, we had a much wider footprint of stores which we've shut down. If I can give you some thing that, it's not high growth like-for-like. It's relatively flat, with certain geographies being 1 or 2% growth and the others being flat. That's the optimization on the offline part of it. Clearly, offline comes under pressure when consumer behavior is moving towards online. So we're not going to be adding on new stores. We're going to be consolidating over here. Our margins have, we've held our margins, in fact, slightly better than last quarter, 50 basis point better. I won't compare it to quarter two of last year, which was, at 15%. That's not representative because that was where we were shutting down our stores. Our costs are pretty much in control. 64 crores cost on Spencer's offline for the quarter versus close to 60 crores in the previous quarter, but the number was much higher in quarter two of last year. Other income over here has also come down a little bit, and that is where there is a slight, there's a 5 crore impact of other income, which has resulted in an EBITDA drop of 2 crores from the previous quarter. So EBITDA is at 13 crores versus 15 crores in the previous quarter. I think on this, I must kind of comment on what we are doing in terms of, while we are doing online, we are also working in terms of ensuring that our offline customer base remains not just engaged, but also we build some stickiness and we get people back to the stores. So we launched our loyalty program, and I think I did mention about that in the last quarter call. We're building very good traction on that. It's called the My Spencer's Rewards Program, and it's a pretty simple one. It's a paid membership. You pay 500 rupees and sign up for a membership, and you get discounts from 2% to going up all the way up to 6% on your monthly consumption or monthly purchase. Of course, there are a few exception categories. There are exceptions in terms of how much quantity you can buy, etc. But at its peak level, if a consumer buys 10,000 of grocery from us, he or she gets 6% off, which is 600 rupees off. So the simple communication is, you can pay 500 rupees as an annual charge, and you can save up to 600 rupees a month in terms of if you're purchasing 10,000. Now, what we've seen is in quarter two, we've been able to sign up 40,000 plus members. In fact, our number has crossed 50,000 in October. So roughly about 8 to 9% of our active monthly customer base is now signed up to our loyalty program. The interesting part is that the return rate, which is if 100 people have signed up for this in a month, how many of them are coming back next month to purchase, that number is hovering at around 80%, which is also very good, which kind of validates the whole thing of, a membership program driving people to come back. The average monthly spends of people who are members versus every other customer, that is 5x. It's almost close to 9,000 rupees from these members. These members today contribute to about 20% of the, so 8% of the number of consumers, but 20% of the sales. Their frequency has also gone up. Once you're committed to a program, you come back. The average frequency of people who signed up to this program is 4.5 times a month, which is good. This My Spencer Rewards program is something which is applicable for both offline as well as online consumers. So if you're online as well, you can do it. But this is an important one. We believe this is the way forward for us, especially for the offline part of the business. We've already fine-tuned and optimized our marketing spends to spend more in areas like CRM and membership as opposed to, spreading yourself too thin in terms of ATL or traditional communication use that money over there. So offline on Spencer's, we are quarter three is again going to be an important quarter for us. We see natural consumption tailwinds, both in the form of Diwali, which happened in October, and then end of the year, which is pretty big investment call. So overall, I would say satisfactory progress as far as Spencer's is concerned in the offline business. The online part of Spencer's is really where we are driving growth for the format. Coming to Nature's Basket, Nature's Basket, if you look at the numbers, flat revenues quarter on quarter, so at the level of about 68-69 crores. Margins were also flat, same as quarter, slightly, in fact, 20 bips lower than what it was, previous quarter. Operating expenses, some level of efficiency there. The expenses were lower by 2 crores. And again, some lower other income, which is, impacting the EBITDA. But again, the EBITDA is not significant, neither in quarter one of last year or quarter one of this year and quarter two. It's a slight negative. I think the key point here is that, on Nature's Basket also, for the first time, despite being a premium gourmet retailer, the consumer trend of moving from offline to online is impacting that business as well. That is evident in the form of, number of bills in certain, markets coming down. Also, it is evident with growing, online competition. So there are players, there's First Club in Bangalore, which is premium gourmet grocery online retailer. Then there are other players who are Food Square in Bombay, which is, using third-party marketplaces to kind of, sell their offerings. So you have a gourmet section in these marketplaces. So that is definitely impacting there. We were also hit by availability in quarter two on Nature's Basket, but it was not the domestic suppliers because of GST. This is more some of the international suppliers where, because of the whole flux they were in terms of their export markets with all the tariff facing, that even the Indian supplies got impacted, especially, you know, things like, you know, Davidoff coffee, all the noodles which come from Southeast Asia, as well as some of the range which comes from UK. So there was a bit of impact there. So availability, the growing migration from offline to online, you know, did impact Nature's Basket. Revenues are flat. But again, here, the focus going forward is to build, I would say, a consumer resonant online, you know, proposition for Nature's Basket, because it's not that people don't order gourmet on online. That's where the shift has happened. So we have, you know, done some work on the app as well for Nature's Basket. I talked about it last quarter. Given the fact that the Jiffy app, which we developed as a native app from ground up on Spencer's, is working very well. You know, it was very easy for us to migrate the Nature's Basket, you know, app, which was built on an end-of-life Magento kind of a platform, which is a bit, which is very durable, but is not as flexible and agile. So the fact that we did well with the Jiffy tech development in the app, we have migrated the Nature's Basket app. In Nature's Basket, you know, the online part, we actually call it out-of-store because it's online plus the phone delivery. And the phone delivery part of the business is also doing well. Overall, you know, the out-of-store mix for Nature's Basket is close to 16-17%. So it's not that, you know, in a premium retail that you have, you know, your walk-ins, it is also out-of-store, which is an important one. We will continue driving the online with the rollout of the app. There is a membership program working in Nature's Basket as well. It's called the Elysium. So it's a paid membership, and there are discounts depending on what slab you do. So currently there are about 6,500 members, out of which you know, 55% come back month on month. But these members are really your high-spending members, and they account for 15% of the overall business. So again, the plan there is to drive this membership program harder and get a significant number of existing customers to become members, and then therefore drive a certain level of AMS. So critically, CRM, marketing, online. Now, these are the three common things which will be driven both across Nature's Basket as well as Spencer's. You know, again, for Nature's Basket, quarter three will be a good quarter. We've seen, you know, I can't comment on October, which just went by, but you know, there was a Diwali impact, and then there's the end of year impact, which a positive impact which happens on the business. So you will see a better quarter as far as quarter three is concerned. But yeah, quarter two was, you know, I would say at the same level as quarter two, both in terms of revenue and EBITDA. So I think that's the overall kind of, you know, summary on the commentary on Q2 across three parts of the business. I just conclude by saying that, look, you know, we are, there is no change in approach and strategy in terms of what are the growth levers, what are the efficiency levers, and how we need to optimize it. It's, you know, we are sticking to that. We're making good progress on some parts, which is I already mentioned, but there are other parts where we need to, you know, continue because those are the tougher parts, but we are reasonably confident that those will also fall in line. Which is the offline part of the business. You know, if I were to kind of, you know, look at it from a top-line growth point of view, it will be the online components, both in Nature's Basket and Spencer's. And from an efficiency point of view, it will be the offline business, where both businesses, we aspire to be at a break-even at an operational level, right? Both businesses on the offline side of it in a few quarters. Now, you know, that might, that's the intent, and we're making good progress on that. But we intend to be a strong omni-channel player with our online business driving growth, which is reflective of where the consumer is going. It will not be profitable, so that will be clear. Therefore, we wanted to have a certain share only and not grow above that. We're not going to pivot from moving from offline to online. The offline part is what is our core proposition. It establishes the experience, it establishes the brand. But there again, we will not see growth, but we will certainly want to be as far as that business is concerned. So that's how the business is driven. One part of the business for driving growth, the other part to ensure that you don't, make losses on that part of the business. So that's the summary. And like I said, quarter two was therefore a reasonable quarter. And we're hoping that quarter three would. We'll come back to quarter three and give you more updates on this. But again, that's the summary. I'll stop here, take a pause, and open it up for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Akhil. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the detailed opening remarks. Sir, my first question is slightly broader at consolidated level. I think in last quarter also you had guided that we should be operationally break-even by end of FY26. And in the opening remarks you concluded, we are probably a quarter or two quarters away from it. So if I exclude other income, right, we're still kind of short of break even. So are we confident that we should be kind of EBITDA positive for the full year FY26 at consolidated level? That's my first question.
Yeah. So I think, look, at a consolidated level, when we consolidate the online part of it, I don't think we will be able to get to that in the time frame. But I think on the offline part of the business, definitely we will be a bit positive, because the online business does require a certain level of investment. I did mention about the unit economics, where I'm saying at an order level, we are positive, breaking even, but then there are, other costs which are there. So I think, the online part of the business merits, not just merits, actually it demands a certain level of investment. And if you don't reach a certain scale, you will not absorb the other costs, whether it be in terms of tech, overheads, or marketing. So I think that is what will come in the way of us at a consolidated level to be, operationally EBITDA positive. But the offline part of the business is in both Spencer and Nature's Basket. That's the endeavor, and we are fairly confident that the offline business will be operationally positive. Yeah.
Sure. And the second question is, I think we've done the harder part of the course correction, right, in terms of closing out the unprofitable, non-profitable stores and cost restructuring, and those activities, I believe, by and large, we have done and kind of done reasonably well. So now we are at a situation where I believe that there is not much headroom in terms of improving the cost structure, I believe. So how should one look at in terms of the growth at the top line level as well as at EBITDA level, basically? So what kind of sales per square feet or gross margin level we need to achieve to grow our absolute EBITDA number?
Yeah, so I think a very good question. So look, I think, the hard optimization which we had to do, we've done it last year in quarter two. So, you will see, in quarter three onwards, like for like comparison, seeing where the costs have come down. Is there more headroom for cost optimization? Not really. Is there a room for improving our margins? Again, I would say not really, because if you look at it at a consolidated level, 20% plus, our mix of fashion is very low. So for a primarily a food, where FMCG food, FMCG non-food, fresh, staples, in that mix, for a retailer to deliver 21% consol margin, and for Spencer's 19.5% margin, that's if I may use the word, it's going to hit a ceiling. So the endeavor there is, if you costs have also been optimized, margins are there. So clearly, the expansion of EBITDA is going to be led by an expansion in top line. And if you're not going to add a lot more stores, it is going to directly mean that if you're increasing your top line, number of stores remain largely the same, your SPSF will go up. And I think that's the whole endeavor. And we will drive this growth in the existing stores. I think they've been optimized. We'll keep doing things like, you know, even within stores, there is an opportunity to optimize because our stores work as what we call gray stores. There are stores which have a walk-in part of the store, and they have a component from where your e-commerce fulfillment is done. So we will optimize all of that to ensure that combined throughput of the stores is going up, irrespective of even if offline does not go, online will go up. But clearly, I think the journey for us from here onwards is about increasing your top line without increasing your costs. The variable cost will obviously be there, but your fixed costs will remain the same and maybe even adjusted for inflation. And margins will remain the same. So it's not about increasing your percentage margins. This is not really now a game of percentage margins. One has to improve your rupee gross margin, which will be by keeping the same level of percentage margin and driving a higher level of growth, whether it comes from offline or online. And that'll all drive our RGM, which will allow us to absorb costs over a higher RGM, and therefore your EBITDA will be higher. So that's the outlook. So, in summary, don't expect improvement in margins. I think we're at a good level. Going beyond that then it kind of gets a bit risky. In fact, I would say we should be okay to take a 50 bips lower margin and 10% top line growth, because that will result in a much higher RGM. It's not and we'll drive that both in the offline and the online part of the business. Offline is a bit harder. So that's not where the consumer trend is, but that's not we've seen that with the right level of inputs, with the right level of like the membership program, all the festive periods, we do see a strong buoyancy as far as offline sales is also concerned. So yeah, we are we are not pessimistic about offline. In fact, we believe that we are now in the right type of stores, right size in the right cities in offline, and through a combination of membership, smart pricing, we'll be able to drive certain categories from an absolute top line growth and an absolute RGM growth.
Sure, this is helpful, and I kind of agree that it is at a very good gross margin level. So finishing on this particular question, so now you are mentioning that sales per square feet has to kind of improve, given that we are not looking for aggressive store expansion. So if we were to benchmark against, say, some of our best performing stores, and if we evaluate that against, say, other stores in terms of, say, footfall, in terms of the conversion rates, in terms of the inventory turn, what would be some of the factors where we think we can improve upon, basically, in some of the relatively less performing stores? Yeah, that's all from my side.
Yeah. Okay. Good question. I'm not going to give you a comparative benchmark with some of the others, but of course we do that. So you're right. Benchmarking, you can do it at two levels. You can benchmark your average SPSF with the average SPSF of some of the industry peers. Or you can do an internal benchmarking where you look at three buckets, or actually two buckets, stores which have a higher SPSF than your average and stores which have a lower. So that's an internal benchmarking, and we do both, but we focus more on the internal benchmarking because, that's also a sense that if a certain store in a similar geography can give you a higher than average, then, you have to understand and decode what is working there and what is not working in the other location to drive it. So internal benchmarking is always more actionable, for us. But really, I mean, the levers for us for driving, if you ask me, SPSF is, a combination of driving the right balance between the price, which impacts the margin, and throughput. And again, I think if you improve that, where, like I said, you know, a slight investment in pricing to be competitive, because at the end of the day, you know, in India, the grocery market has and is moving more and more towards value. So really, I mean, you know, if a 50 bips investment in pricing can give you an additional 5-6% top line growth, you know, that's something which is what is required. And most of the categories, like I said, we operate in, they are in India, there is price sensitivity on that, you know, whether it be staples or it be fresh, you know, or it be even all your packaged food. So I think that's where we are going to be, you know, focusing and driving. We were a retailer which is also known for a very wide assortment. You know, people would say that, look, in Spencer's, you come and you see in a particular family, you would see all brands, all variants, all SKUs, all flavors. I think, you know, we are, without making a big deal about it, without calling it out, you know, in the garb of efficiency and optimization, we've also had a hard look at our assortment. And because at the end of the day, you don't want to carry stocks just for, you know, staying true to your positioning, or stocks which don't have the right level of turn. So we've done some, you know, internal work. We are working with a specialist supply chain consultancy, which is helping us in terms of everything from you know, range efficiency, so what's working, where the range effectiveness is high, not looking at assortment rationalization. The ultimate goal is to increase our inventory turns, reduce our DOH, and increase our throughput. And they will have, you know, I think the lead for that is you've got to be incredibly, you know, competitive. Now, I'm not saying you've got to be the lowest price, so let's make a distinction between that. We're not talking about low price, but we're talking about competitive. So we do, you know, obviously, like other retailers, we do a very serious price benchmarking exercise three times in a month, and that price benchmarking exercise, you know, results in price, you know, resetting at different intervals of time during the month. So I think the things like that are more important. So having a tighter assortment, an assortment which is efficient, which has higher inventory turns, and so that you're not you know, incurring a huge cost of carrying inventory. And all of that optimization has to be plowed back in terms of some price investment where, you know, you offer value to consumers, because consumers today are smart. They do price checks online. They do price checks with other offline. So, you know, you've got to be, you know, you can't afford to be off your pricing. So I think pricing is a very big lever for us in terms of driving throughput. And that's how we will embark on the journey. Yeah?
Sure. This is very helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Before I ask my questions, Anuj sir, can I please request you to probably change your microphone, or because your voice is a little muffled, it is difficult to understand certain numbers when you talk about them.
Okay, cool. Is it better now? I've come to
yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Sir, my first question is, we've been talking about sales per square foot. Just a confirmation, the numbers for Q2 FY25, they are the numbers that you posted on your presentation, they include the stores that were closed, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Understood. Absolutely. So, sir, can you please help us with a target, both for Spencer's and Nature's Basket, for sales per square foot, which you would like to achieve in order to achieve the steady state EBITDA levels, which you have articulated earlier for around 6%, I guess, for Spencer's, and similarly for Nature's Basket as well, please?
Yes, I think, look, you know, the absolute number is, you know, we can do the mathematics, but you know, today, quarter two last year, consol level was 1,200. This year, quarter two is 1,600. I think, you know, we have to make a journey which has to, this has to cross 2,000 rupees as a consolidated number. And in fact, I would say it is to go towards the 2,200 level, and it is quite possible. I think Nature's Basket used to have, 2,400 rupees a square foot, and Spencer's in West Bengal has a higher number. So I think a number which is clearly 2,000, is a number which we should aspire to within this financial year, and then by the end of next financial year, crossing 2,200, 2,300. That will put us in a very good state and help us get that. So I think what you were referring to was that shape, which I'm saying that look at 18.5%, 19% margin on Spencer's, looking at all that, if you
yes.
deliver 6%, that's not EBITDA, we're talking about store EBITDA, right? That's the 6%, because, if you have 19% margin, then you have store OPEX, which is between rental and OPEX is about 11%, so you will end up at 7.5%, that's store EBITDA, and then you have other overheads, which will help you to get to the 2-3% at a business EBITDA level as far as Spencer's is concerned. So yeah, so the question on your thing, look, the SPSF has to be clearly 2,000 plus. Yeah, I think if you look at players, peers, the biggest value discounter, they're talking about touching almost 3,000 rupees a square foot. That's 36,000 rupees a square foot per year. So yeah, that's where it is. We are not a value discounter. But we still need to be, I think, for our P&L to work, it has to be closer. It has to definitely cross 2,000 at a console level, and at 2,200, 2,300, that's where you'll discover all the efficiencies. Yeah.
And it would be right to assume that we have it in our, it seems doable for this financial year, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to give a commitment of this because, the financial year, if you look at retail, typically, it is, that quarters have different, kind of seasonality. I would say we should test getting to 2,000, closer to 2,000, 1,800, I think, in quarter three. Quarter four is historically a low quarter. So, I'll use, your quarter exit rates as opposed to full year rates. So, that's the way. So, I'm not committing saying an FY in this financial year we will exit with an average which is there. But, yeah, maybe quarter three is a number to kind of look.
My question is only from the perspective that since you mentioned that Spencer's and Nature's Basket, the offline segments will be operational EBITDA break even by FY26 for the full year. So, I'm just asking if we are still confident to achieve that level.
So we're looking at that. I mean, look, that's the target we have set, and the offline part being at, I'm not saying that this is where it looks today, but that's the we have two quarters to make that happen for the offline part.
Okay, sir. Sir, talking about the balance sheet, I know you've previously mentioned that since the company is part of the RPSG group, you have access to promoter capital, but that comes at a cost of dilution. And in the light of the recent charge creation, how are you planning to deal with the balance sheet? Can you help us with a 1-2 year plan?
Look, I think we've mentioned that in the past, and there's no secret to that. I mean, the fact that we will continue using similar arrangements to access to capital, I think, which is largely, debt. And of course, now that's at a certain level. But we are also looking at what could be alternate ways, what are the different fundraise options which are there. We will come back and share once we have more concrete thing on that. But currently, I think it's the way it's continuing. We see that continuing. And then at some stage, we will be ready to share details of where it is. But yes, I mean, all options are on the table.
Okay. My final question, sir. For the online business, do we have an anticipated investment numbers for H2? And how much did we spend in H1?
Yeah, so look, I'm not going to break out the numbers, but look, you can see if you look at this thing, you know, we have to reach a certain top line, and that incurs a certain, you know, investment and loss. So, you know, if you're sub 20 crores per month, given the fact that, you know, your unit orders things there, you will end up making about you know, three crores of loss, because there's also acquisition costs, etc. The moment you start getting to 25 crores, you can probably bring 25 crores per month, you can bring down that loss to about 1.5 crores a month. Anywhere from 30 crores plus in a month is where you could be. You have a good chance of breaking even. So, you know, I've answered your question in a bit of a roundabout manner, but I've given you some, you know, unit order economics. Yeah.
Okay, sir. These were helpful. Thank you very much. That's it from me.
Thank you, Parikshu. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of the question and answer session. So, on the behalf of Batliwala and Karani Security India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you very much.